The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's Lingfield, Uttoxeter and Warwick to come on Wednesday. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. And you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Well, what a few weeks of a few days of racing we've had, Craig. And the latest superstar to win Hurricane Fly. Over in Ireland at Leopardstown on, I'm trying to remember what day it is. I've lost the days. On Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, very easy beating to lose track. At that
beating Jetski, and a great race in the end. What a finish.
It was, yeah. And, you know, Jetski, who hurdled more fluently of the two yesterday, had no real excuses. Just was out-battled in the closing stages by Hurricane Fly, who, you know, that performance has to be up there, one of the best in his career.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's turning 11 in a few days' time, and he seems to be as good as ever. And it was very interesting to see Willie Mullins say after the race that he's still his number one horse for the Champion Hurdle. And everybody's obviously been very impressed with the way Fahin's went about his business so far this year since coming from Novice Company. But Hurricane Fly, just fantastic. 9 out of 9 at Leopardstown. And he's beat a Jetski that was on top form yesterday. Arctic Fire, who finished third, produced a career best. Nothing wrong with that run. 15 lengths back to the fourth. So it was a very good effort from Hurricane Fly, and he just seems to be as good as ever and showing no signs of losing his form or going backwards at the age of 10.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 9 course and distance wins now, 21st grade one. The question, I suppose, is we know he's very good in Ireland, but the last few years he struggled a bit at Cheltenham. Could you see him playing a part in the Champion Hurdle? We've got him at 12-1 at the moment.
Yeah, you know, on the basis of his run yesterday, which you really have to look at, you know, he's going to be there or thereabouts. He came up short last year, as you said, and Jetski's probably slightly better when the going's drier in the springtime. You know, it will be difficult, the likes of Fahin. I think he'll run his race, Mark, for sure, and be there or thereabouts.
Okay.
Whether he's good enough at the age of 11 remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think as well, there'll be other horses that have been brought along to peak on the day, where Hurricane Fly, at this stage of his career, he's probably at his best now to try and take advantage when the quality, you know, and fields aren't as deep for these grade ones. Obviously, at March, it will be filled with the best 2 milers that we have, so it will be much more difficult for him come March.
Okay, another big winner in Ireland on Monday was Don Poley, winning the Topaz Novice Chase. A good renewal of that race, and he's a horse very much on the up, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, I like the way he jumped, and he stayed on strongly in the closing stages. He just looked at an ideal type for the RSA, but all the talk seems to be about him going for the 4 mile national hunt chase at the festival. So, you know, I think there's still quite a bit of water to pass under the bridge in terms of a definite target for Don Poley, but you had to be impressed with him. I thought the second Apache Stronghold travelled very well in the contest. Had doubts prior to the race whether he would actually see out the 3 mile looking at his pedigree. So he's an interesting one, stepping back to 2.5 for the Novice Chase at the festival, because that was a very good run, getting within 3 lengths of Don Poley when he didn't really see the trip out as well as the winner.
Yeah. One more to talk about with a Cheltenham theme. Sprinter Sacra back on a race course, doing a bit of work at Newbury on Monday, and he looked in good nick, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he jumped well, and, you know, from the pictures we see, he looked, you know, straight enough that a return to the track in a competitive race wasn't far away. And I think Nicky Henderson said after the piece of work that, you know, they're looking to get him back within a couple of weeks or so. So it'll be great to see him back. To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of seeing horses, you know, running against their stablemates in a gallop like that on a race course. I don't think it's great for racing. And I think it plays a part in why we have so many small fields. You know, Nicky Henderson isn't the only trainer to use racetracks to bring horses to the boil. So for me, although it's great to see Sprinter Sacra returning or close to a return, I just never think it's ideal to have these racecourse gallops.
Okay. In terms of the champion chase, though, he's 3-1 at the top of the market. Would that appeal to you?
It would, Mark, because if he's at the top of his game, there's very few horses that can touch him. Serdar Gruzhi has questions to answer. We haven't seen him this year. The biggest danger could end up being Champagne Fever, who could come back in trip after failing to stay in the King George. So there isn't a lot of strength and depth there. And, if he's on his A game, then I'd be surprised if there was anything, that progresses enough to trouble him.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Queen Mother Champion Chase picture's changed in the last few weeks. I mean, a couple of weeks ago we thought we're not going to have any superstars in the race. Now we might have Sprinter Sacra inside of Gruzhi back. We've got Champagne Fever if he drops in trip, Alpha Roth as well. It could turn into a belter in the end.
It could indeed. The picture's starting to change all the time now. We're getting to that time of year for various different races for the festival. I mean, the Triumph Hurdle, picture's changing all the time now. Yeah. And it's just getting to that time of year where the real strong candidates are starting to emerge. It is deep winter ground, and it can all change again come the springtime. But it's good to see, some good future stars in the National Hunt game. And just to touch on the racing yesterday, Mark, I thought I was very impressed. Even though he finished second yesterday, the Willie Mullins horse Bell's Hill in the bumper at Leopardstown. He just got done for a turn of foot off a flatbred horse in Vigil. But I think once he goes over hurdles, or even kept two bumpers on a stiffer track like Cheltenham, he could go very well.
Okay, good stuff. Well, let's move on. Let's look at Wednesday's action. We'll get Craig's picks for Lingfield in a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, we're going to look at three races at Lingfield, playing it a little bit safe because inspections already at Uttoxeter and Warwick may be a little bit of a doubt. So we'll look at the all-weather action at Lingfield, starting in the 210, which is a handicap of 6 furlongs, and we have 8 of them in the lineup here. Craig, which ones are on the shortlist?
Yeah, there's two on my shortlist here, Mark. Compton Prince for Milton Bradley, who travelled very well last time at Lingfield over this course and distance. Just conceded first run to Indus Valley, who came down the outside and couldn't reel him in the closing stages, but it was a real promising run. The handicapper has put him up £2 for that, from 58 to 60. He was third prior to that. Kempney just looks an informed horse that is ready to strike on a competitive-looking handicap, Mark. We know he goes well at this track. This is his trip. He ticks a lot of the boxes, and he's going to be very, very difficult to beat in this race for me. I think the one that could give him most to do is Table for 10, who's having his first outing at Lingfield. His last two starts have come on the fibre sand at Savile, but he's by Pastoral Pursuits, whose progeny have a very good strike record on the poly track, and he's another one that looks reasonably well handicapped. And Stan Moore has his horses in very good shape at the moment. So he's got the visor on again, and I think Table for 10 and Stall 1 is probably the biggest danger to Compton Prince. But there's a few disappointing types in the race, and I'd be disappointed really if Compton Prince can't take advantage of a really good opening here.
Okay, Compton Prince then in the 210. The 240 is where we go next. This one's a Class 4 handicap of 7 furlongs, and Chiron at the top of the weights here arrives in pretty good form. Won at Wolverhampton 2 starts ago, and a good second behind Rich again, who's in pretty good nick at the moment as well. Can he do it again at Lingfield?
Yeah, that's a big question here, Mark. Can he reproduce his Wolverhampton form at Lingfield here? Totally different type of track. And he was unlucky last time at Wolverhampton. He didn't get the clearest of passages. He ended up tight against the far rail. And he was slightly unlucky on that occasion. He's able to race off the same mark here. But the big question mark is, can he reproduce that form away from Wolverhampton?
Do you think he can?
To be honest, I think he'll run well, but I don't think he'll win.
Okay.
I think he'll be there or thereabouts. I think you need a horse with a real turn of foot here. And the way this race is likely to develop, I think, could be against them. The horse I like is Evening Attire for William Stone, who ran really well over the course and distance last time, came from some way back to take third behind two horses that had raced prominently throughout. And, you know, it was a race where you really needed to be sitting close to the pace. And in evening attire made up substantial ground in the home straight. And I think you can mark that form up. And he's a very interesting runner here. He's able, again, to race off a mark of 84. He's been off much higher handicap marks in the past, and this looks a good opportunity for him.
Okay. Evening attire then in the 240. And the final race that Craig's going to look at for us is the 310. This is a Class 5 handicap over a mile. And boss time arrives here in pretty good nick, Craig, chasing the hat-trick. So does What a Dandy. Do you see between those two?
Yeah, I don't, to be honest. But the two horses that they come here and they're absolutely thriving at present. They're in top form. You know, they've both got really good chances. And, you know, I think the market will probably have those two at the head of affairs here, Mark. But I think there's one that could get involved here at a slightly bigger price, is Franco Secret, who won his maiden at Kempton two starts back. And the form of that race is working out reasonably well. The second right away has gone in since. And I think the fifth has also won from that race. And, you know, in handicap company for the first time off a mark of 72, finished third to Jungle Bay, was a good run. You know, I think looking at the dam side of his pedigree, there looks to be plenty of stamina there. So the step up and trip could bring about even more improvement here. So I think Franco's Secret is an improving type, and now he gets the chance to step up to a mile here. He's very much of interest for me for Peter Hedger and Charles Bishop.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Let's just have a quick summary, if you don't mind, before you go.
Yeah, going back to the 210, Compton Prince would be the selection there, Mark. In the 240 at Linkfield, evening attire. And finally, in the 310, we're going for Franco's Secret for Peter Hedger.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck with that, and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. Mick Norton, James Millman and Gareth Toppin will be in the studio. We have Linkfield, Uttoxeter and Warwick. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.